Hey there, this is Seth Juarez with another episode of Azure Friday. I'm here with a special guest. Tell us who you are and what you do, bud.
I'm Den Delmarski. I'm a PM on the Content Services International team. And, you know, if you've heard about the new docs on Microsoft.com release, I was part of that team that did it. But today specifically, I'm talking about Azure Notification Hubs.
So why don't you tell us what the technology is and why it's important?
Yeah, so today a lot of people, once it comes to developing mobile apps, web apps, they think that putting together push notifications to deliver users with valuable information depending on their context is relatively hard. You know, it involves a lot of dealing with REST APIs, it involves dealing with authentication, and it's, you know, inherently it's a hard problem to solve to do it reliably. So depending on the scale of your application, some developers might be very vary of that topic, and they might decide not to, you know, even get into the area of push notifications. So Notification Hubs solves a lot of problems and gives you this nice wrapper that will just do a lot of the legwork for you and simplify a lot of the work that you're planning to do on notifications.
So if I'm a developer, what would I have to do, for example, if there was no Notification Hubs? What's the challenge there?
So every platform has their own notification service. So obviously, you know, depending on whether you're using Android, Windows Phone, Kindle, iOS, there's different notification services. Mm-hmm. And each has their own requirements, each has their own restrictions in terms of scale, each has their own API. So it means, you know, if you have a cross-platform app, for each and every one of them, you'd have to re-implement that layer to deliver notifications. And then you'd have to have the middle layer that would actually handle, you know, the core of your notification services. So if you decide to deliver notifications to thousands and millions of devices that run different variations of the OS, different variations of the platform to begin with, that would be a very, very significant investment that not a lot of dev shops would have the time and the resources to do. And again, Notification Hubs handle that for you, so it abstracts out a lot of the platform code and gives you the ability to just worry about delivering notifications.
I see. So if I understand correctly, the two challenges are, first, you'd have to write special code for all three platforms. And the second thing is, if you want to have more than a couple of users, you're going to have to be able to scale these messages out somehow.
Correct.
And these
are
the little pop-ups you get that say, hey, your app has updated, or hey, you know, this news is coming up from ESPN.
Yeah, somebody mentioned you on Twitter.
Got it.
That kind of stuff.
Awesome. Yep. So, all right, let's see how you do it. Let's talk about Android today.
Yeah, so we'll start with Android. And, you know, for Android specifically, you would need to have a couple of dependencies right ahead. So I'm going to mention Android Studio. This is what I'm using. If you're using a different IDE, that's perfectly fine, and you can adjust that accordingly. But for now, we're going to be using Android Studio. It's a free download. The link we could put in the show notes.
Let's do it.
But so before we get into the actual software part, on the service part, you need an Azure subscription. So there is a free tier for Notification Hubs. You don't actually need to pay for it. There's limited support in telemetry, but it still works relatively well for a pretty large scale, unless you're working with like millions of devices.
Sure.
Then we recommend getting a paid subscription.
Absolutely.
But on the Azure portal, so if you go to portal.azure.com, you can simply go to New, and you can just look up Notification Hub, and it'll pop you the actual suggestion. Because I already used it before, it's right here in my Blade. The Blade is what we call this segment you see here that pops out.
Got it.
And you can specify a name for it, obviously, and namespace. So a namespace usually is used to group a bunch of, if let's say you're working on multiple apps within a single kind of tenant, you can specify a namespace for all of them.
I see.
Obviously, location and resource groups are an Azure concept way. Essentially, it just groups a bunch of entities, be it notification hubs or any dependencies, into kind of like one bucket.
Got it.
So I've already had mine set up, so I'm going to close this and use an existing notification hub. So once you create it, it takes about 10 seconds to actually provision it. You'll get this very nice screen with all the information that you need. So this is great. Now, another dependency that we have is what I mentioned earlier, because every device has a platform-specific way of handling notifications, you still need to get kind of provisioning from that platform. For Android, you would go to the cloud console, which is console.cloud.google.com. Also free. You don't have to put any credit card information or anything like that. But you would have to create a new project. So at the top right corner, there will be a little dropdown and with an option that says create new project. Once you go through the steps, it'll be a wizard. You can just specify the name of the project, any additional information such as the identifier. And once done, you'll pop into this dashboard view that you see here. So two things that you need to remember from here is specifically the project number. This is how you reference your project in any of the API calls that you're performing for notifications. So you need this number. And for the purposes of this particular video, I already have a sample ready that we also provide for you. You can go ahead and download and test it within minutes.
Sure.
It takes zero effort. But essentially, it's a Android Studio project, has everything provisioned. What you need to do is open notificationsettings.java. So this is the file that contains all the information that we need for sending and receiving notifications. It contains all the API information.
Awesome. Can we make the font a little bit bigger?
Yeah. Let's try this.
Perfect.
Fantastic. So like I mentioned earlier, so you have the sender ID. So this is how Google identifies who's actually sending the notification. While we're doing a lot of the legwork on the notification hub side, we still need to tell Google that, oh, by the way, this is a legit device that's sending the notification.
Got it.
So we're specifying the sender ID. Hub name is the name of the notification hub that I just created in Azure. So if you open the portal, it will be, let's see, this name right here.
Got it.
Like I said, conveniently shows you all the information you need. You don't need to dig through any of the settings, nothing like that. One thing, though, I will mention is on Notification Hub, because we handle the infra for you, we need to know, well, where do we go to handle that infra? So if you go through Notification Services on the settings view, you can see that all the platforms that we currently support are available in the list. So if you decide to provision apps for Apple, Android, you can do it here. In our case, it's Google. So we're going to click on GCM. I already have the API key provisioned here. But
where do you get that API key?
So the good question. As you created the project here, remember the through the Cloud Console,
mm-hmm.
you can go to console.developers.google.com. And it's the API console, essentially. In a section that's called Mobile APIs, you'll see Google Cloud Messaging. And there is a segment on the left that says credentials. And once you click on credentials, you can create new API keys depending on your need.
I see.
So in my case, what I did is I clicked on create credentials. I clicked on API key. So an API key, it is a server key because we're actually reusing it across. And Notification Hubs is acting on our behalf. So give it a name, descriptive name that you want to use, for example, my sample Android app, and it will just create a key for you. And then you insert the key into the Azure portal. So it'll be right here conveniently for you. Then.
And this is so that our servers can talk to their servers.
Yes, correct. So essentially, it's acting as a proxy for mm-hmm. you because we're doing a lot of the infrastructure work. Then if I go back to Android Studio, so couple of things that I need to mention here. So there's the connection strings for listening and full access. And looking at this, it might seem, wow, this is a lot of the stuff that I need to configure. This is what I looked up. Conveniently, the Azure portal also gives it for
nice.
You. So you don't have to worry about it. So what you have to do is go to access policies, and it'll give you the listen and the full shared access. So these are essentially the endpoints where we will perform calls from and against to get the notifications.
Got it.
And make sure that these are, by the way, very secure. So if you're checking in code into Visual Studio Team Services or GitHub, you're not checking these in with it.
Make sure
to clear that. So going back to Android Studio. So once you have this configured, great. You have it all ready. We're relying on Gradle in this project. And Gradle is essentially a build system. On a rudimentary level, if you've worked with NuGet before, it has some similarities. So you would need to add, for compile time, references to the Azure Notifications Handler and the Azure Notification Hub's Android SDK.
Awesome. Can we zoom in a little bit?
Yeah. Unfortunately, Android Studio doesn't preserve the zoom in preference.
That's
it seems.
Okay.
And you'll need to essentially specify a repository where the SDK is located. And that's it. As you build a project, it'll pull all the dependencies and all the references for
it. This repository that for Maven, where is that pointing? We're going to put that in every time, or is it pointing to a specific place?
No, it's pointed at a specific place. Okay, once you specify it, that's it. One caveat that I should mention is, as you're developing this project, you have a dependency on Google Play services. Okay. So if you're working through the Android debug bridge, and I'll talk about that later, you actually create an emulator image. You need to make sure that it supports Google Play services, because notifications, GCM, or Google Cloud Messaging depends on that.
Okay.
So once you've configured that as well, it's all good to go. In the manifest file, you would need to also, if you worked with Android before, and this tutorial assumes that you have some knowledge of the Android platform, you would have to specify how do you handle your instance? And in this case, I'm just using my instance ID service. What this does, it essentially talks to Google Cloud Messaging, and it does a token exchange where it can essentially validate and register a device. And as well, we're adding the notification broadcast receiver, which is from our side. Now, as Notification Hubs is performing a lot of the legwork to send and receive notifications, we create you can look at it as a class. It's a receiver class that handles a lot of that. And then the main activity for the project itself, and the main activity in this case is once you launch the app, kind of what's happening. We perform a lot of the checks regarding, handle notifications. So Notifications Manager is the instance, what I just mentioned, of the class that manages all the inbound and outbound notifications. So we do it. We still need to register with Notification Hubs. So in our code, we perform explicit checks to see, if the Play services are supported, then we can do proper registration. If they're not, we're not.
And when would you do the Play services? Let's just say someone's coming in not knowing about Android. What does it check? Is that when it's debugging, or is that when it's live?
It should be. Typically, you would only encounter that problem if you are debugging.
Got it.
So if you're running on the emulator that doesn't support it, you don't want to run into a bunch of issues. Mm-hmm. That said, there are devices with no Play services on them, such as, like some Kindle, right?
Got it.
Kindle doesn't have it. And somebody decides to deploy the sample, then you'll run into a lot of issues where notifications won't be delivered.
I see.
It's kind of a fail-safe and say, oh, by the way, sorry, we caught it off right there.
Okay.
And I'll spare the details of the notification, kind of the check itself. But what we do is there's built-in APIs into Android that do that for us. So again, not a lot of code rewrite from our side.
Got it.
What we do, though, is the way authentication works for Notification Hubs is we're using the kind of shared access signatures, which are typically called SAS tokens. And we implement the code to actually parse. Remember when I said the shared access key and shared access? So we are parsing that connection string, and based on that, we're creating we're generating the SAS token. And the SAS token is going to be used as in HTTP headers that are sent as a request to the Notification Hub. We're passing that to make sure that Notification Hubs knows for a fact, again, on our side now, that it's a legit device making the calls authorized to do it.
Got it.
So a lot of the infra work is done for validating that, do we get a right response? Do we get a response back? And again, nothing too complicated in this case. So if you use Android, most of the code is the same. So you're just essentially creating a bunch of helper functions that are going to be leveraging that. And those are reusable across different applications. So you don't really have to rewrite it for every app that you write. So once you write it once, that's it. Or you can just copy paste it from the sample.
Sure.
Within the myhandler.java, and this is the notification manager that I was talking about, here we specify what exactly are we doing when we receive a notification or when we send a notification. So send notification is not a scenario that's very typical from a mobile app. You don't really send notifications from a mobile app. But for the purposes of this test, we did create that. And obviously, you can specify a lot of notification sounds. Where the notification is going to be displayed, is it going to be a toast? Is it going to be a message? So we'll perform all those checks here. And within the activity, obviously, we just have this is the UI. So somewhat similar to what we have with XAML and UWP apps.
Got it.
This is kind of a somewhat of a primitive version of XML layouts. And if I'm going to run this app, and I can choose an emulator that's already running. So like I mentioned earlier, make sure that the emulator that you choose supports Google Play services. It's very easy to pick the wrong one when you create in the Android debug bridge, when it creates the emulator, it's very easy to just pick, oh, Lollipop, and I'm, make sure that it supports the right APIs. Hopefully, because it's running, it will just pass the application here. So, also, the emulator might be a little slow, so it probably would be way more efficient to test it on the real device.
Right.
But it works just as well. So what will happen is once the app boots, we can switch to the portal. So as you see here, the message says it's registered successfully. By the way, I should also mention that the registration model that we have today, where as you start the app, we need to send it to the service and say, oh, by the way, here's the new device. Can you register it for notifications? And then it goes back. There's a lot of checks involved. So you are running into the risks of the same device sometimes losing the registration, so it needs to re-register. That's why we have the registration check in place.
Got it.
There's a lot of hassle. So what the team did is they actually changed a lot of the logic. So now we support what's called an installation model. So with each app, there's a JSON blob that identifies uniquely that device and the app. So you can only send it to service once and just say, oh, by the way, I'm so-and-so, and that's it. And
nice.
It avoids dupe notifications. It avoids the issues with latency and so on.
Got it. And that's just something that you would deploy with your app as part of the installation.
Yeah.
Got it.
So app is running great. How do you test this? You know, and it's another part of testing notifications. A lot of users would start with the idea that, well, great, I have this app. Now I need to develop infrastructure for actually sending notifications and testing that it works. We also handle that for you. So if you go to the portal, there are several ways to do it. If you go to the portal, there is a test send button. So what this does is give you an option to, for regardless of what platform you're using, to choose the target, in our case it's Android, and specify kind of what the payload is. And the payload for notification is, again, a JSON blob. So you see here is data message and then the text of the message. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to click send. It's a sending text message. It's successfully sent. And if I switch back, you just saw it here. Because the app is running, it shows at the bottom. Another way to do this would be, you know, you can write your own testing infrastructure. And for that, here in Windows, I have running Visual Studio. So let's see. I'm going to actually close the magnifier.
There's a little at the bottom right-hand corner. There's a little percent sign here. Right up in here, you can make that a little bigger.
Yeah. Let's do that. Let's do to like 150.
Perfect.
So what I have here, it's a simple console C# app, no rocket science involved. So what I did is I've added a reference, so back to the idea of NuGet packages, a reference to Microsoft.Azure Notification Hubs. So it's already in the repository, so you can just as well add that reference. And in program.cs, I simply added a using statement for Notification Hubs for the library. And then I'm creating a new Notification Hub client that I specify the client string. This is the string that we operated before that we got from the portal. And then I specify the message. So the payload is exactly the same as what you saw in the Azure portal. And I'm awaiting a send GCM native notification async. So GCM is Google Cloud Messaging. So I'm specifically targeting for Android. And I'm going to click on start. The app runs. And if I switch back, notification is going to be displayed on the device. So it's very easy to test, very easy to. And regardless of whether you're sending rich notifications or simple notifications, it works the same way.
Is the JSON payload just whatever you define?
Correct.
Okay, so you could have your own little object structure that you use to display something.
Well, it's a little bit trickier with that. There is specific requirements for notifications to be properly interpreted, and that those requirements are driven by each platform.
Got it.
So some platforms have, you know, the way they want the message formatted, the length, and so on.
Okay.
So we're abiding to that. But we do support one like rich push, which can, if you decide to send like a picture or something, and secure push, which right now you directly kind of send a notification to all the devices, you broadcast it. With secure push, you can send a ping and say, oh, well, is this device allowed to receive a notification? For example, if you were sending emails, right, like email notifications, you don't want to just broadcast to everybody. It's like, oh, by the way, Joe got this email. You want to make sure that you're targeting it to Joe. And speaking of targeting, we also support tag notifications. So if you tag certain devices, you know, if I'm using, for example, if it's an app that does car purchases, then I can tag specific car brands into categories and say, oh, by the way, I'm interested in this model, this model, this model. And then we'll send to that device notifications that are tagged with models in that specific bucket.
Got it.
So they're not just randomly broadcasted to everybody, but they're targeted to the user, and they're targeted to kind of like the tags that the user chose.
Got it. So,
and I mean, this is pretty much it. It's this simple. It's really, from the developer side, it's a couple lines of code to enable it in an existing Android application.
Well, this has been awesome. We are, again, learning about Azure Notification Hubs here on Azure Friday. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time. Take care.